In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As you all know, we started in the month of October speaking about judgment. And in our first week, I talked to you about what you would call it, the three-way method of discovering and knowing yourself. And the three steps that we spoke about were to avoid having the form of godliness, or a false or fake godliness. As you all know, many people can come to church and they have nothing to do with the church. They come to be judgmental, looking at any word they hear or anything they see, and only go out not benefiting from the church but committing a big sin for judging others. So they have the form of godliness. They come and judge every move and every word and everything that you do, because the Lord is not in their hearts. It's not. They tell you, we serve the house of the Lord, and they never ever thought about serving the Lord of the house. They never did. They never went into a deep relationship with God. They have the form of godliness. They come to church, but they really had nothing to do with the church or God, the Lord of the church. Number two was to understand that sin has made us all debtors. We owe so much of debt to God that we can never ever pay. But He did pay it all complete for us on the cross. And the third was to appreciate God's willingness to forgive you at all times. God is so merciful and so gentle and so loving. And all that it takes is to humble yourself and come forward and tell Him, God, I have sinned. And He will accept. So it takes you, the first step, not him. Remember what the father of the prodigal son did. He was waiting for his son to come. He did not force himself on his son. He was waiting and kept waiting until he came. And when he came, he was so happy that he came. So please keep this in mind. Last week we spoke about sinful judgment. And if you remember, again, you could call it the 4, 5, 6 method. We spoke about 4 different types of sinful judgment and 5 dangers of judgment, one of which was the loss of love. For you to judge anyone, that means you have no love whatsoever in your heart. You have no love of any kind because you are judging people who are humans. They have their weaknesses, and you could be doing the same sin and even more, but you are still forgetting your sins and judging others. Stay away from that sinful judgment, because you will be under the same judgment, and as the Lord said, and more will be added to you. I think that should be scary to every one of us. But the question is, in that case, we will never be able to see something wrong and say it is wrong. Absolutely not. I never meant it this way. What I meant last week is you do not judge people for their humanity, for their weaknesses, because you are weak like them. For their sins, you commit the same sins like them. But there are cases where you must judge, because if you do not judge, you yourself will be judged by the Lord. So what would be the conditions of acceptable judgment? This would be my top for today. You heard the scripture today from the book of Luke in chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And it tells us that the Lord looked at St. Peter and he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Let down your nets for a catch. Think about this for a moment. The Lord was at the beginning of his ministry. He was just talking to Peter first time. So to Peter, the Lord is just a human being, not God yet. He did not know about his divinity yet. So St. Peter could tell him, I am a fisherman. I am an expert. You are judging me that I do not know where to catch. But imagine as if the Lord looked at him, and from his look, he can tell the authority that's coming from the word, from the mouth of the Lord himself. As it says in the scripture today, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Then, from the look of God, he said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. So St. Peter did not go and tell the Lord that you are judging me, and this is wrong. I am an expert. I am a professional. I have been serving this church for so long, and you don't know what I am doing. You have. But you have did not and never did serve the Lord of the house. You served the house of the Lord. It's completely different. Make sure and make no mistake about it. There's a big difference between serving the house of the Lord and the Lord of the house. You serve the house of the Lord to show off and show that you are a person that you serve, and you have so much that you can do out of your own pocket, your money. Your ego will be the key behind all of this. It is not the truth about any relationship with God. But if you go into the deep, meaning you go into this real relationship with God, now we can do all things, and you can let down your nets, and that could be using all your talents, the good things that God gives you, so you can use it and to catch and bring fruits to the Lord Himself. So, when Saint Peter listened and he obeyed and he humbled himself, he got the reward. Remember again, the scripture said, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So you can tell from this story, and you should learn from this story, that not every judgment or teaching that you hear is wrong. You could hear teaching that's all right, and you must trust in the teaching, especially when it comes from God and from His church and His priest. That should be your number one criteria. Sadly, many people misunderstand the verse in the book of Matthew in chapter 7, verse 1, that says, judge not that you be not judged. Everybody, you talk to them, remember this verse, judge not. We tell them, no, you have to know there are times and there are cases that you must, again repeat, you must judge. And I want to give you, continuing our like numbering system, I thought use what we call it a seven-step method, where if you know the answer to the following seven questions, you will really understand the meaning of acceptable judgment. Number one, is it okay to judge? Number two, if it is okay to judge, what does the verse that we just read in Matthew 7:1 mean? Number three, when can we judge? Number four, is raising our children and warning them about bad company considered judging? Number five, can the teaching of the church against other churches or other beliefs consider judgment? Number six, can warning a friend consider judgment? And number seven, what are the conditions of acceptable judgment? So let me start, and I will group the questions because of time by answering the first three questions, and I will give you like few cases of acceptable judgment that will answer these questions. Please understand the following. The first case of acceptable judgment is your right understanding of God's commandment. When you heard the first verse of the book of Matthew, chapter 7, don't stop there at verse number 1. Continue reading. So I will continue reading for you up to verse number 6. It says here, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eyes? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So far we are talking about not judging, right? Please listen carefully to the following immediately after. It says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. If you read this one carefully and you understand it carefully, there are a few questions here. How can you obey God's commandment at the same time you do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine? How can you tell if what is dogs or what is for swine? And what do holy and peril means? It came right after the first verse that says, judge not. So if you really wish to understand it the right way, it means you must judge. You must judge. Everyone and anyone who can speak against what's holy and what is perilous. Holy would be the word of God. Perilous would be his teaching, his church, his priest, his deacons, anyone who is truthful in his service to the Lord. Do not let those who can bark, meaning speak loud like dogs, and can make you stop serving because you have the truth about serving and you know God really well. Do not let anyone can dash the right teaching of God, the perils, because they do not understand it. You keep the teaching, you keep talking no matter what happened. To death, what happened to any one of us? We will die? Thank you. That's all what we need, because we want to be with God. We need nothing more. If you need anything more, you do not know God, period. Because you are thinking about this materialistic world that will also end. So you must lift up your standards much higher than the earthly living here. You must also identify those people who could be godly or not, and you must avoid those people who could be ungodly or could be having the false form of godliness. And the only way to do this, to avoid those people, you must judge that those people are good or bad. From where we get it, please listen carefully to Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, that you read every morning in the book of Agbaya. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So how would you know that these people are ungodly to avoid walking in their counsel? Or they are sinners to avoid standing in their path, or scornful to avoid sitting in their seats? The answer is, you must judge that those people are sinners, they are scornful, they are ungodly. Otherwise, you would lose the first word in the verse that says, blessed is the man. You are losing and will be losing the blessings. And to confirm this understanding of that verse, please listen to what St. Paul said in the second epistle of Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 6. He said, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. People can receive so much of teaching from the church, but they do not come to church to listen. They come to judge. They will never benefit. So stay away from those people. It's not Abuna's teaching. That's St. Paul saying, withdraw from every brother, brother meaning somebody is even right here, who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us, the church of God, the clergy of God. That's the first case of acceptable judging, right understanding of God's commandment. The second case of acceptable judging is the natural teaching. For example, there are times that you must look at things and say, this is good or bad, this is good or evil. You can tell, and you should tell. For example, if you hear your children are cursing or swearing or hurting somebody else, wouldn't you say this is wrong? Does it need teaching? It doesn't. That's human natural instinct that can tell you this is something good or there is something bad. And in the book of Matthew, in chapter 7, the same chapter, we have the verse that says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. So think about this for a minute. You teach your children how to be good, and you see them doing such bad things. You can tell, you are not my son, you are not my daughter. Remember that you represent me. So how could this bad word come out of your mouth? It should not. You get shocked when you hear your children doing something bad or saying something bad. It should not be. Because you taught them the right things. Naturally, you taught them the right thing, and they should be able to distinguish it. You should tell them, watch for this. Remember again what God said, the fruit that's your children, if they are not good, you, the father and the mother, will be cut down and thrown into the fire. It may sound scary, it's not encouraging. No, it should be encouraging so you can continue the work that you are doing when you raise your children. Don't get tired so quickly. Continue teaching your children. Continue. The Lord said in the book of Matthew, in chapter 12, verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by what? Its fruit. So when they see your children to be good, they know you are good. If they speak bad, sorry to tell you, that means you did not raise them well. So there is something that you should watch. Your kids come and tell you, Dad, you are judging. Tell them, yes, it is my responsibility before God. He asked me to raise you well. I should teach you. This is wrong what you are doing. You should not do it. And you stand very firm at your belief and your teaching so he can know and later trust me. He will thank you for what you did to him. I do not know of anyone who has a child who went away from the church that he is happy. People come in tears because their children are not here. Don't wait for that time to come when you come in tears because you cannot bring your child back to the bosom of God. Time is now, don't stop ever. The third case of acceptable judgment is responsibility and stewardship. And that continues our answer to the question about the children and also the clergy and the teaching of God. So if you look at this, you may think seriously that sometimes Abuna is very tough or very firm and old-fashioned, and he's against modern life and he is out of this world, and all the good things I hear about Abuna, it's all good for me. I enjoy it, trust me. Why? Please, as a father and mother and a priest and everybody, listen carefully to this story from the first book of Samuel, chapter 2. It says, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he did say to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. The children did not listen. The father was not firm. He was not tough to tell his children, you must come back. If he loved them, that's what some people misunderstand when Abuna is tough. It is out of love, and if you have any other reason, you are mistaken and you are judging Abuna in the very wrong way. Abuna has nothing to do with anyone except loving him, wishing for him or her to be with him in paradise of God wills for all of us. Let me continue the reading. When they did not listen, here is what happened. Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli and all that I have spoken concerning his house, from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows. He knows sin. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. The father did not restrain his children. The priest did not teach his congregation. So what happened? And therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So what happened? The two sons died in the war, and when their father heard, he also died. The three lost their eternity. The father and the two children. You have to remember this, and you have to be very careful. It is not scary when you know. It's scary when you do not know. But since you know, you take the steps. You take the steps. When Abuna speaks about women covering their heads and they get so upset, Abuna loves you so much, worries about you, needs nothing from you except being with him. All what Abuna wants is for his children to be in paradise, need nothing more. I don't want you to be old-fashioned, I don't want you to be old-style, I don't want you to be wearing veil like Muslims, that's not ever was my intention. Unless you never open your heart and your mind to understand the commandments and the teaching of God, you must understand it. In the first epistle of Corinthians chapter 11, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. Some women who don't want to obey the commandments tell you, shouldn't we worry about salvation, for example, and then we'll worry about covering the head? That same argument happened with the Lord in the book of Matthew in chapter 23. Please read it. Easy to remember this verse. Matthew 23:23. When they argued with him about some commandment, he said, I am not against the commandment. You should do this, but should not leave that undone. Do this, do not leave that undone. This is a commandment, this is a commandment. Also, when you hear the word that we will worry about salvation, trust me, that means Satan is deceiving you. You heard and you read the book of His Holiness Pope Shenouda that's called The Heresy of Salvation in a Moment. Salvation will take all your life. It is a lifelong journey. It will never be in a step or a few months or a few years. You will never know that you are saved until God tells you, welcome, my honest and faithful servant, and come to the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Some people tell me they read a book by someone, just someone, not a father from the church, that says back in the days they used to cover their heads because of some reasons, adultery and stuff like that. Who said it? Is he a father from the church? Is it a doctrine from the church? Again, we must judge that this is not a teaching from God. It says very simple and very clear. It doesn't need interpretation. Some tell me it is a matter of interpretation. It says if you pray, you must cover your head. What kind of interpretation is there? Abuna, you are giving us a hard time. It's too hot. It's better to be hot here than being in fire. Hell, God forbid. You must be strong and you must judge there's something wrong. Abuna, you let people look at all of us. So you are worried about people looking at you now and you are not worried about God who is looking at you when you pray. You disrespect His commandment. That means I put myself in the place of Eli and I put you in the same place of His sons. That means all of us, God forbid, will be in hell. I will never accept that, at least for myself. I have done all what I can to teach, and I will keep teaching as long as God will give me the chance to teach. I will never stop. St. Paul said in the second book of Timothy, in chapter 4, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Also in the first epistle of Timothy, in chapter 5, verse 20, it said, those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. You are the one I care about so much, and my care and love to you is eternal care, eternal love. I love you so much, and I have nothing ever in my mind except one thing, your eternity. And glory be to God now forever. Amen.